الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The virtues of prostration. Dua of Attar. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, The Virtues of Prostration, grant him the delights of prostration and illuminate his face in this world and the hereafter. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Virtue of Salat ala Nabi. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, to the one who expressed praise for the Almighty and then sent blessings upon him, ay Salat ala Nabi, after the prayer, supplicate, it will be accepted. Ask and it will be given. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A recipe for forgiveness. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu states, whoever says the following three times whilst in the state of prostration, Ya Rabbi ighfirli, Ya Rabbi ighfirli, Ya Rabbi ighfirli, O my Lord, forgive me. O my Lord, forgive me. O my Lord, forgive me. When he raises his head, he will have been forgiven. This supplication should be recited during the prostrations of voluntary prayers or when performing a prostration of gratitude for blessings received. During a supplication of gratitude, one may express other permissible supplications as required. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Offer numerous supplications in prostration. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a servant is closest to his Lord whilst in the state of prostration. So make abundant supplications during prostration. Explanation of hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes about this hadith, Allah is always close to us, but we remain distant from Him. However, in the state of prostration, we are granted a special proximity to Him. Therefore, consider this closeness a great blessing and ask for whatever you can. Wudu is essential for the prostration of gratitude. Wudu is mandatory for the prostration of gratitude. However, for a customary prostration performed without the intention of gratitude, it is not necessary, as it is not a shari prostration, but merely a permissible act, neither yielding reward nor incurring sin. If one wishes to supplicate during prostrations out of prayer, they may do so in languages other than Arabic. Strive in supplication during prostration. It is narrated from the companion and son of a companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, I have been prohibited from reciting the Qur'an during ruku, i.e. bowing, and sujood, i.e. prostration. In ruku, glorify the Lord, and in sujood, strive in supplication, for those supplications are worthy of acceptance. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes in his commentary of this hadith, in the prostrations of voluntary prayers, make supplications explicitly. In the prostrations of other prayers, perform the tasbih and tahmid, I glorification and praise of Allah. For this too is an implicit form of supplication. Because praising the generous one also serves as a supplication. Some pious elders have been observed falling into prostration and making supplications. Their basis for this is this hadith. As in prostration, a servant attains the utmost spiritual proximity to Allah. Supplications made in this state, insha'Allah, will certainly be accepted. that is great hope for the acceptance of supplications in prostration. In Fazaili Dua, composed by the father of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, amongst the 45 times and situations in which supplications are accepted, the 20th is during prostration. There is a strong hope for the acceptance of the supplication. The opportunity to supplicate is an occasion for the prostration of gratitude. On page 62 of Fazaili Dua, there is a summary of the statement given by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh. Upon being granted the ability to supplicate and plead in the court of Allah Almighty, one should perform a prostration with the intention of gratitude. For a servant is closest to his Lord in the state of prostration. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stated, "A servant is closest to his Lord in the state of prostration. So make plenty of supplications whilst prostrating." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Prostrated immediately upon birth. Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, "At that moment, i.e. the time of birth, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam prostrated before Allah Almighty and said, 'Rabbi habli ummati.'" Translation: "O Allah, forgive my ummah for my sake, i.e. grant my ummah to me." It was said, "Wahabtuka ummataka bi'a'la himmatika." Translation: "I have forgiven, i.e. granted to you, your ummah, because of your exceptional resolve." Then a divine command was given to the angels, "O my angels, bear witness that my beloved did not forget his ummah at the time of his birth. So how could he forget them on the day of judgment?" Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The writing on the stamp, fictional account. Someone, whilst lamenting their troubles to a pious man, said, "Whatever I do goes wrong. What should I do?" The righteous man asked, "Have you seen a stamp?" He answered, "Yes, I have." He asked, "Do you know how writing appears on a stamp?" He replied, "The writing is inverted on it." He asked, "Can you tell me how it appears correctly?" He replied, "When the stamp is pressed onto paper, the words appear correctly," he said. "Just as the stamp presses its forehead, i.e. its face, on the paper, and its inverted words appear correctly, similarly, you should perform wuzu, go to the masjid, and prostrate before your creator and owner. Insha'Allah, your adverse affairs will also be set right." Four incidents of supplications being accepted in prostration. Number one, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam and a farmer. Abu Abdul Rahman Dimishki rahmatullahi alayhi narrates that Sheikh Makhul Dimishki rahmatullahi alayhi said, Prophet Sulaiman bin Dawood alayhi salam was seated on a mat made of hair, and his companions were sitting around him. He commanded the wind, and it lifted the mat. Jinn and humans began walking before him. The birds provided shade. A farmer was working in his field, and he thought to himself, "If I was in the presence of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, I would ask him three things." Allah Almighty instructed Sulaiman alayhi salam to visit the farmer. He rode his horse and approached him and said, "O farmer, I am Sulaiman. Ask whatever you wish to ask." The farmer asked, "How did you know the intention of my heart?" Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam replied, "Allah Almighty granted me this knowledge." The farmer said, "I have believed in this knowledge." The first point is, by Allah, when I saw you surrounded by blessings, I thought to myself that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam's past pleasures and blessings come to an end, whereas I am still in the same toil and fatigue as I was yesterday. However, you alayhi salam do not feel past pleasures again, and I do not feel past hardships again. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam asked about the second matter, and the farmer said, I told myself that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam will not remain in this world forever, and I too must die. Prophet Sulaiman replied, you have spoken the truth. The farmer continued, the third thing I said was merely to comfort myself, that on the day of judgment, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam will be questioned about these blessings, but I will not be questioned. Hearing this, Sulaiman alayhi salam dismounted from his horse, prostrated and wept, submitting before the divine court. O my Lord, were you not Al-Jawwad, i.e. the greatest bestower of bounty and generosity, and free from miserliness, I would certainly ask you to take back these blessings, meaning he would have requested him to withdraw his blessings. Allah Almighty revealed, O Sulaiman, raise your head from prostration, for I will not reckon the blessings I bestow upon my servant when I am pleased with him. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 2. Freedom granted after supplication in prostration. It is narrated from Sayyiduna Jaffar Khuldi rahmatullahi alayhi that I asked Sayyiduna Khair al-Nassaj rahmatullahi alayhi, how did you become known by the name Khair al-Nassaj? Were you a Nassaj? That is, did you work as a weaver? He replied, no. Rather, the reason is that I had made a pledge to Allah Almighty that I would never eat fresh dates out of my own desire, and I remained firm on my pledge for a long time. Once, compelled by my desires, I bought some dates and sat down to eat. I had only eaten one date when a man began to look at me angrily. Then he came to me and said, O Khair, you are my runaway slave. In reality, that person had a slave named Khair, who had escaped, and due to a misunderstanding, he thought I was his slave. And in all honesty, my complexion had also become like his slave's. Many people gathered, and as soon as they saw me, they all suddenly exclaimed, by Allah, this is your slave Khair. I clearly understood what crime I was being punished for. The man took me to his shop, mistaking me for his slave. There his other slaves were weaving cloth. When the other slaves saw me, they said, O immoral slave, do you run away from your master? Come here and do the work that you used to do. Then the master ordered me, go and weave such and such cloth. As soon as I began weaving, I felt as though I were a highly skilled artisan and had been doing this work for many years. So I started working with the other slaves. After several months of working there, one night I performed many optional prayers and spent the entire night in worship. Then I fell into prostration and made this supplication. O Allah, forgive me. I will never break my pledge again. I continued to supplicate in this manner. When morning came, I saw that I had returned to my original form, and so I was released. Because of this, my name became Khair al-Nassaj, meaning Khair, the weaver of clothes. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 3. Food was found. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas rahmatullahi alayhi was once in the jungle when he suddenly met a person for whom he felt dislike in his heart. The person said, I am a Christian monk and have come from Rome to stay in your company. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas came to know the secret behind the dislike that arose in his heart. He said to the monk, I have nothing to eat or drink, lest you face hardship. He said, Ya Sayyidi, my master, your name resounds throughout the world, and yet you are still worried about food and drink. Upon hearing this, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas permitted him to stay in his company. 7 days and nights passed without food or drink. The monk became anxious and said, Now the matter is beyond what I can bear. Please arrange for some food and drink. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas rahmatullahi alayhi prostrated and humbly supplicated in the divine court. O Allah Almighty, this non-Muslim has held a good opinion of me. My honor is in your hands. Do not disgrace me before this non-Muslim. After making the supplication, he raised his head from prostration and found a tray with 2 loaves of bread and 2 vessels of water. After eating and drinking, they set off together. After another 7 days passed, they stopped somewhere, and the monk prostrated and supplicated. Instantly, a tray appeared with 4 loaves of bread and 4 vessels of water. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas was astonished. He thought to himself that he would not eat anything from it. The monk said, Please eat and hear 2 glad tidings. Firstly, I accept Islam. Then he recited the testimony of faith. Secondly, you have a very high status in the court of Allah Almighty. I made this supplication whilst prostrating. O Allah, if Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is truly your messenger, then grant me 2 loaves of bread and 2 glasses of water. And if Ibrahim Khawas is your friend, i.e. a wali, then grant 2 more loaves of bread and 2 more glasses of water. As soon as I raised my head from prostration after making the supplication, the tray of food was present. Upon hearing this, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khawas rahmatullahi alayhi ate the food, and with the grace of Allah, the new Muslim attained a high rank of sainthood, i.e. wilaya. May Allah have mercy on them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 4. Sayyiduna Shibli supplicated in prostration. Incident. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi saw someone engrossed in worldly affairs, and as a result the Shaykh fell into prostration and recited this supplication. Alhamdulillahilladhi aafani mimma abtalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Meaning, all praise is due to Allah Almighty who granted me well-being from the affliction with which he tested you, and favored me over many of his creatures without a clear distinction. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Recite this supplication upon seeing anyone afflicted by a calamity. After narrating this incident, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, if this supplication is recited upon seeing anyone afflicted with a religious or worldly hardship, then insha'Allah, the reciter will remain safe from that affliction. This supplication is mentioned in hadith number 3443 of Tirmidhi. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, under this blessed hadith, states, whether the affliction is physical, such as leprosy, blindness, or any other disease, financial, such as debt, poverty, or scarcity of sustenance, etc., or religious, such as disbelief, immorality, oppression, or reprehensible innovation, this supplication, in short, is a remedy for every calamity. This supplication should be recited very softly so that the afflicted person does not hear it, as it may cause them distress. Do not dislike three ailments. This supplication should not be recited upon seeing someone afflicted with any of the following three ailments. Number one, common cold. Number two, itching. And number three, sore eyes. Whilst describing the benefits of these ailments, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan states, it is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that three ailments should not be disliked, i.e. do not consider them bad. Number one, common cold, because it cuts off the root of many diseases. Number two, itching, because it prevents skin diseases like leprosy. Number three, sore eyes, as it repels blindness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Abundance of prostrations elevates ranks. The Tabi'i elder Sayyiduna Madan bin Abi Talha rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, I met the companion of the Prophet Sayyiduna Thawban radiyallahu anhu and asked him, tell me of an action which, if I perform it, Allah Almighty will admit me into paradise by its blessing. Or I said, tell me the most beloved action to Allah Almighty. Sayyiduna Thawban radiyallahu anhu remained silent. I asked again, but he remained silent. When I asked for the third time, he said, I had asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about this, and he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, perform abundant prostrations, because whenever you prostrate for Allah Almighty, he will raise your rank by 1 degree and forgive one of your sins in return. In one narration, it is also stated that Allah Almighty records a pious deed for the one who prostrates because of it. The zeal to perform sunnah. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi says regarding this part of the first hadith, I had asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about this. Meaning, I too asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam this question three times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam remained silent twice, and on the third time he gave an answer. Following this very sunnah, I also remained silent twice. This silence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was to increase the eagerness of the questioner, and Sayyiduna Thawban radiyallahu anhu remained silent to act upon this sunnah. The companions, radiyallahu anhum, used to emulate the mannerisms of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The respected Mufti, regarding this part of the hadith, perform abundant prostrations, states, this means perform more optional prayers, recite the Holy Quran abundantly, and perform more prostrations of gratitude. Regarding this part of the hadith, and forgive one of your sins in return, he states, from this, it is understood that prostration is an expiation for sins. However, the sins referred to here are minor sins related to حقوق Allah, rights of Allah. حقوق al-ibad, i.e. the rights of people, are forgiven by fulfilling them, and major sins are forgiven through repentance. Difference between elevation of rank and recording of pious deeds. Allama Abdul Ra'uf Munawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi poses a question. What is the difference between the elevation of rank and the recording of pious deeds? When rank is elevated precisely because of the recording of good deeds. He then answers this by stating, although rank is elevated due to the recording of pious deeds, the cause is separate from the result. Hence, these are two distinct things. Sometimes, rank is not elevated by the recording of pious deeds. Rather, another sin is erased. Limbs of prostration will be safe from the fire of hell. It is narrated from Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, the fire will burn the entire body of a person except for the mark of prostration. Allah Almighty has forbidden hell from burning the mark of prostration. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes about this hadith, meaning the fire of hell will burn all the limbs of those people, i.e. those Muslims who will enter hell, but will not be able to burn their foreheads. Some commentators have stated that all seven limbs of prostration, i.e. forehead, both hands, both knees and both feet, will remain safe. Some commentators have stated that this refers to the entire face. This view is supported by the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, وَيُحَرِّمُ اللَّهُ صُوَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ, meaning Allah Almighty will forbid the fire from touching their faces. High ranks are attained by opposing the self, i.e. nafs. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dahlvi rahmatullahi alayhi, commenting on the part of the hadith, i.e. help me against your own self with abundant prostrations, states, this statement is like a physician telling a patient, I will treat you with a medicine that will grant you healing, but you must help me, i.e. cooperate with me, by abstaining from harmful things and following my instructions. In the statement of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding against your own self, there is a warning that high ranks are attained only through opposing the self, i.e. nafs. From this blessed hadith, it is also known that serving the pious and fulfilling what pleases them is in fact a means of attaining virtue and success, especially considering the pleasure of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which is the greatest blessing and good fortune in this world and the hereafter. Performing a prostration of gratitude upon hearing good news is a sunnah of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. O lovers of prayer, whenever you receive good news, you should perform 2 units of voluntary prayer in gratitude or perform a prostration of thankfulness. falling into prostration upon hearing news of religious or worldly joy is called the prostration of gratitude. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu narrates that whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam received good news or was pleased, he would prostrate in gratitude to Allah Almighty. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi states, performing the prostration of gratitude is proven from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and the companions radiyallahu anhum. Have we ever performed the prostration of gratitude on an occasion of joy? Here are two questions and answers from Malfuzate Ala Hazrat. Question: is the prostration of gratitude sunnah or mustahab? Answer: it is the sunnah of Prophet Isa, mustahabba. When the head of the accursed Abu Jahl was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he performed a prostration of gratitude. Question: if one makes the intention for the prostration of gratitude within a prostration of prayer, is there any harm? Answer: there is no harm, but it is better to perform it separately from the prayer. In Bukhari Shariat, it is stated, the prostration of gratitude, for instance, when a child is born, or wealth is obtained, or a lost item is recovered, or a sick person is cured, or a traveller returns. In short, prostrating for any blessing is mustahab. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to perform the prostration of gratitude upon hearing good news. By the grace of Allah Almighty, if you receive the good news that your visa for Hajj or Umrah and presence in Medina Munawwara has been approved, you should perform the prostration of gratitude for it. Method of performing a prostration of gratitude. The method for the prostration of gratitude and the prostration of recitation is the same. In Maktabatul Madina's publication, Bukhari Shariat, Volume 1, page 731, it is stated, the sunnah method for the prostration of recitation and gratitude is to stand in a state of wudu and go into prostration while saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Then say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my Lord the Most High, at least three times. After that, one should stand up while saying Allahu Akbar, saying Allahu Akbar both before and after the prostration is sunnah, and both standing up to go into prostration and standing up after the prostration are mustahab. For the prostration of recitation and prostration of gratitude, one should neither raise the hands while saying Allahu Akbar, nor is there any tashahud or salam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Forehead injured during prostration. Sayyiduna Abu Ismail Murra rahmatullahi alayh used to perform 1,000 nafl, i.e. optional prayers, daily, and when he became elderly, he reduced them to 400. Harith Ghanawi says, once he performed such a lengthy prostration that he injured his forehead. He passed away in 76 AH. Luminous forehead. When Sayyiduna Abu Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi passed away, one of his family members saw him in a dream where the place of his prostration shone like a bright star. So they asked, what is this on your face? He replied, my forehead has been illuminated because of the harm caused by the earth. They asked, what status have you attained in the hereafter? He replied, it is the best abode whose dwellers neither leave it nor die. inspiring account. It is also narrated that after his passing, someone saw Sayyiduna Abu Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi in a dream, and the place of his prostration had become light. So he was asked, "Where are you?" He replied, "I am in a house whose dwellers neither depart from it nor die. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Prostrating directly on the ground is superior. In Ihya al-Ulum it is stated, it was a noble habit of Hi'ai the Tabi'i elder, Sayyidun Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, to always prostrate directly on the ground, without spreading a prayer mat or anything else at the place of prostration. And in Bahari Shariat, it is also written that prostrating without any covering is mustahab. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The most beloved state of a servant to Allah Almighty is when he sees his servant prostrating, rubbing his face in the dust. The virtue of a dusty forehead. As long as the dust on a worshipper's forehead from prostration remains, angels continue to pray for his forgiveness. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, let none of you wipe the dust from his forehead until he has finished his prayer. For as long as the mark of prostration from the prayer remains on his forehead, the angels continue to supplicate for his forgiveness. Wiping of dust or grass from the forehead during prayer is makruh tanzihi, I mildly disliked, as long as it does not cause undue disturbance in the prayer. If arrogance is intended, then it is prohibitively disliked, i.e. unlawful and sinful. However, if it causes discomfort or distraction, then there is no harm in wiping it off. After prayer, there is absolutely no objection to wiping it off. In fact, one should do so to avoid ostentation. The mark of prostration on the face. Imam Fakhruddin Muhammad bin Umar al-Arazi rahmatullahi alayh, in his commentary of verse 29 of Surah Al-Fath, part 26, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Simahum fi wujuhihim min atharis sujood. Their sign is on their faces from the effect of prostration, states. There are two opinions regarding this. One opinion is that this mark of prostration will be, not in this world, but on the day of judgment, as Allah Almighty states, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ وُجُوهٌ, the day when some faces will turn bright. He also states, نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى, their light will emanate. The light on their faces will be due to their turning towards Allah Almighty. As Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ard. I have turned my face, refraining from all falsehood, to the one who created the heavens and the earth. A person who stands directly facing the sun has the sun's rays falling on his face, which makes his face appear luminous. Even though the sun's light is temporary and fades away, whereas Allah Almighty is the one who illuminates the heavens and the earth. So whoever turns towards him, such a light will appear on their face that truly will be full of radiance. The second opinion is that this mark of prostration will be in this world. Within this, there are two further opinions. One opinion is that it refers to the mark, i.e. a dark spot or stain that appears on the forehead due to abundant prostrations. The second opinion is that it refers to the beauty that Allah Almighty manifests during the day on the faces of those who prostrate at night. It is firmly established for intelligent people that when two individuals stay awake at night, one spending it drinking wine and indulging in entertainment and play, and the other dedicating it to prayer, recitation, and acquiring religious knowledge, then the next day everyone can differentiate between the one who spent the night in wine and play and the one who spent the night in remembrance and gratitude. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's statement regarding the mark on the forehead. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh writes on page 66 of Fatawa-e Afrika after a lengthy discussion regarding the mark of prostration, I say the research ruling in this regard is that intentionally creating this mark to show off is haram, qati, i.e. absolutely forbidden, and a major sin. That mark, mu'adhallah, is a sign of him deserving hell unless he repents. If this mark appeared naturally due to abundant prostrations, then if those prostrations were done for showing off, the doer is an inhabitant of hell, although this mark itself is not a sin. It was created by a sin. Hence, it is a sign of deserving a place in hell. If those prostrations were purely for the sake of Allah Almighty, but the person became pleased by the appearance of this mark, thinking that people would consider him a devout worshipper and a prostrator, then this is ostentation, and the mark has become reprehensible for him. If he pays no attention to it, then this mark is a praiseworthy mark. According to one group, its praise is mentioned in a Quranic verse. It is hoped that in the grave, it will be a sign of his faith and prayers for the angels. And on the day of judgment, this mark will be more luminous than the sun. The face of the one who performs the tahajjud becomes luminous. Sayyiduna Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, what is the reason that the faces of those who perform tahajjud are beautiful, i.e. luminous? He replied, it is because they seek solitude for their pure sustainer. And so Allah Almighty clothes them with a garment of His light. Pious deeds are the light of the heart and the radiance of the face. A pious elder states, performing pious deeds creates light in the heart, radiance on the face, abundance in sustenance, and love for that person in the hearts of people. Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu stated, if a person performs a deed secretly with great discretion, Allah Almighty manifests its effects on his face and in his speech. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. How did a karate practitioner become a preacher? To attain the delights of prostration, escape arrogance, and become an embodiment of humility, continue traveling with the Madni qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. Madni transformation. An Islamic brother residing in Faisalabad prior to his association with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami had a very corrupt character, a lying, backbiting, tail-bearing, evil glances and quarrelling were part of his daily routine. He had learned martial arts, i.e. karate, etc., and using his skills, he would pick fights with people unnecessarily. Adopting every new fashion was amongst his hobbies. Alas, he was so distant from prayer that he did not even know how many units each prayer consisted of. Eventually, his ways changed when he met an old friend who had become associated with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. The friend invited him to travel with the Madani Qafila. His efforts were successful, and he eagerly became a traveler of the 3-day Qafila. By the blessing of the company of the devotees of the Holy Prophet in the Qafila, he came to understand the purpose of his life and repented for his sins, realizing that he had spent a large part of his life in heedlessness. He was granted such devotion that whenever he listened to a sermon, tears would flow from his eyes, and even upon returning from the Qafila, he continued to weep. Alhamdulillah, since that day, he remained attached with Dawat-e-Islami's environment and has been actively engaged in promoting religious activities as a division-level Qafila leader. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. O Lord of Mustafa, grant us the ability to perform abundant optional prayers alongside our obligatory ones and to prostrate frequently. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.